I'm Tracy Jones.
I'm Denise Oliver.
And we're joined in the studio today by Ben Calder of the Centre for Integral Health in Shrewsbury. Hello, Ben.
Hi.
Okay, let's kick off because I'm not literally kick off, actually. No fights here.
Stay calm.
Yeah, this is what we were going to be talking about when I accidentally pressed Red Hot Chili Peppers to carry on playing. Trolls. Okay, now, a subject we've just been talking about, somebody that we all know in the room, has been the subject of a bit of trolling on the internet yesterday. Well, considerable trolling, because actually I don't think trolls do a little bit, do they?
No.
Trolls seem to just throw themselves into it feet first and keep on going. And to me, it seemed quite a vicious thing. Now, what's this got to do with health and well-being, you may ask? But we happen to have in the room an expert on the shadow self.
Yeah, it's very kind of you to call me an expert for that as well. Thanks, Tracy. But yeah, the shadow self is a really interesting part of our personality that is our disowned qualities, things that at some point in the past we've been told are unacceptable or unallowable. And so what we do is we push them away from ourselves. Now, they don't ever stop being parts of who we are, but we see them reflected in the things that really affect us in the environment. So it's no longer the self. It's no longer I that am the problem. It's the thing. It's not me, it's them. It's not my fault, it's their fault. And so we get really affected, really angry by these disowned parts of ourselves, and they're very damaging, not just to us but to those that we're close to as well.
And so you were saying before the show started, and why I brought the subject up is that this need that some people have to troll people online, you'd call it bullying if it was face-to-face, wouldn't
yeah.
you? But doing it online is part of this trigger that they've had for a
Absolutely.
Part of themselves they've buried that
yeah.
they find distasteful or
yeah, sure.
frightening? Or
it can be a combination of things. I mean, and the shadow is really interesting in the fact that it can be all our positive qualities as well. So the characters that we really adore and look up to and idolise, all of those qualities that we think are amazing in other people, but again, we disown in ourselves. We think that we lack it, but somebody else or something else has it. And so we get very kind of passionate, very excited about that. And when it's something negative, you know, for instance, it's somebody commenting or making a comment about something or making a statement about something that we ourselves want to disown. You know, I wouldn't do that. I'm not like that. We'll actually get really affected by it rather than just informed by it, rather than just seeing that, you know, maybe that person isn't informed or maybe that person isn't articulating. We're going to get really passionate, really angry, and we want to kind of lash out with it because we can't own it in ourselves.
Oh, I think that's fascinating. I never thought about it in that context before. And you just so happen to be running a workshop on that very subject in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit more about that, Ben.
Well, I mean, I run it a couple of times a year because for me it's one of the most fundamentally important pieces of work that as a therapist or anybody that's looking for self-development work that we're aware of, because if we're not aware of the shadow self, then we're constantly being triggered by other people, other things. So we lose a lot of energy, we lose a lot of effort, and we waste a lot of time being affected by other things rather than just being informed by it. So we have this fractured self because our shadow self is never separate, it's never gone, and it's always unconscious, and it's like a massive rucksack on your back that you don't know that you're carrying, but you feel the weight of it anyway, and you don't know how to take it off because you don't believe it's there. So the shadow workshop is there to A, help us understand how shadow arises, how we create it, and then how we can grab hold of it as it's being triggered and do things with it to not be affected, so that we can actually just have more energy, have a more complete self.
So what sort of things would you expect to do over the weekend? You know, what sort of activities would you have to take part in?
So we're going to have a range of introspective activities where you'll be given an idea or a topic to look at, and then you just have to kind of see what arises in you from it. So for instance, one of my favourite practices we do over the weekend is there's a big long list of negative words. And at the top of the sheet it says, I am a. and you have to read each negative word
out loud or in your head.
No, you get to do it in your head. Yeah. I'm not going to make people stand up and state out loud, but you're then aware of which words actually create something more than just, you know.
Can you give us an example of a word?
Yeah, sure. Let's say something like, I am distrustful. Ooh. Or I am offensive, or I am ugly.
Or I'm judgmental.
Absolutely.
Or whatever.
Okay.
So as you read through the word, do you just read through it? Or is there a little bit of a thing inside of you that goes, oh, I don't really like that. I'm not comfortable with that. And that's an indication of shadow arising in you. And most of the time, we'll just push it away. We'll just get rid of it. But the idea is that actually we look at, okay, well, what is it about me being judgmental that I disown? You know, somewhere in the past, somebody's told me or I've decided that it's not desirable to be that. So I'll step away from it. I'll push away from it and pretend that I am not that, so that my self-image seems intact, whereas actually it's really fractured.
Mm. So how would you recognize that perhaps you need to go on one of these workshops? So presumably the people who are happily trolling other people on the internet won't have that recognition.
No. Unlikely.
So you're looking at somebody at a certain... Yeah, you're not going to go and tweet them and just say, oh, by the way, I can help you with that.
No, sure.
No, don't feed the trolls.
Exactly. and also, I'm most likely at that point just to get attacked with their shadow, because they're not going to own that.
So at what stage are people when they recognise... There's a certain amount of enlightenment that people...
Sure.
Do they feel a certain amount of discomfort, or are they actually aware that there's this shadow self? They've been speaking to you so much that they actually now know...
I've triggered their shadow, yeah.
How does it work?
I mean, a lot of the time, people are actually aware of the fact that they're losing energy to others. So my partner, my job, my boss, this, there's always another, there's always something else that's really bothering them. And, you know, it's the people who classically, you know, I'm fine, it's everybody else that is a problem. You know, and it's people that can recognize that there's something not quite right with that.
Yeah.
And also people that feel that their sense of energy, especially in relationships, relating to other people, that they're just lacking something, something isn't right. And they're kind of stuck with that. So they're kind of saying, okay, well, what do we need to do about this? Why am I so bothered by this person? And quite often it's shadow elements that are arising. So we take a look at that.
It sounds brilliant. I can't actually come to the workshop that you've got coming up in May. But if anybody is interested and would like to book, how do they get in touch with you, Ben?
They can just do that through my website, bencolder.co.uk, or through integralhealthshrewsbury.com. And apart from the workshop this weekend, we'll also be running it again at the beginning of October. I run it at least twice a year. And in all honesty, I would love to see it in every school. I'd love to see every parent doing it. I'd love to see every teacher doing it. I'd love to see everybody doing this work, because it empowers us so much and gives us so much back and helps us to be much more complete people.
An article I came across that's on the BBC Health website was the effects of pollution on children and early development. And this is looking at the effects of the pollution on children both inside and outside the home. And this is being run by the Bradford Institute for Health, so over in Bradford in Yorkshire. And over 1,000 families across Europe are taking part in this. And what happens is that a child from a family is chosen, and the effects of them walking to school, the air they're breathing, UV light on them, and one other thing which I can't recall, is recorded from outside the home. And then inside, they've got big lists of things they have to fill in. So what they're eating, what they're breathing inside the home, whether, you know, what the paint's like in the house, all sorts of things is being collated. And they reckon it's going to take about a year to bring all this information together. Now, one of the reasons I thought it would be interesting to bring this to the show is that, Ben, you actually sell products that help with environmental pollution, don't you?
Yeah, that's right.
So just tell us a little bit, well, first of all, what is environmental pollution? Because it's, well, we're sitting in it, aren't we, all the time?
Absolutely. And we actually don't give any credit for how much toxicity we're having to process on a daily basis from electromagnetic frequencies that our bodies haven't had to deal with for more than 100 years. You know, historically, our bodies just only have to deal with one level of electromagnetics from the planet, from chemical compounds that prior to the 1950s, our bodies were not having to deal with. And those compounds are now found in everything from your food to your toiletries to your clothes to your furnishings to your cars.
Everything,
you know, there isn't a space that you can go to where you're not in some way being affected by those at some level.
Yeah. And so the products that you recommend, just describe those products to us.
So they mainly work with helping to neutralize our electromagnetic environments, but they also help to reduce the amount of positively ionized air within an environment. So it makes it easier to breathe. It reduces dust particles within the environment so that you're not taking in as much, and a fair amount of it is being neutralized, so it has a less detrimental effect on you.
Because the rise in childhood asthma is just unbelievable. It's unprecedented at the moment.
Yeah.
And so to actually have something that helps all of us, not just the children, obviously they're developing, so there's an effect on them, but actually us as adults as well, because we're having to deal with it.
Absolutely.
Day in, day out. I do try, I have to say, try and persuade my kids not to sleep with their mobile phones, but they won't have it.
Yeah.
So, and I know that it's causing disruptions to their health.
Sure.
And then we've got the food.
Yep.
The food chain is, well, what can I say about the food chain? If you're not growing it yourself, you just no idea what's going on to your food.
And you only have to take a look at, there's plenty of pictures you can find on Google. If you look at pesticides being applied to plants, and you'll see the health and safety warnings that have to be put up. You'll see the hazmat suits that people should be wearing when they're applying them because of the severe danger to health, serious carcinogens in their cancer-causing agents. And yet there's this belief that once it's been transferred to the shelf in the supermarket, that somehow that's been neutralized. And that is simply not the case. Mm. And many of those things will persist in fatty tissue for decades.
Mm. We'll hold on to it, won't we? I remember my husband is a doctor, works in occupational health, and a large soap powder manufacturer not far from here. And he was saying, oh God, I've got guys going down like flies working in these environments. They're finding their breathing problems are increasing and things like that. I said, well, don't you think it might be the product? No, we've just got to sort out for them to wear some sort of respirator while they're at work. And it's just like, but that soap powder's then coming into our homes.
That's right.
You know, and that was before the eco brands had really come to the forefront.
Yeah.
And so at least that's a little bit better for us, I think.
And yet there is a really interesting relationship between what our state of health is and our ability to detoxify. And I know there are a number of medical authorities that have said it's impossible to detoxify, you can't do it. Well, sure, the word is a little bit misused, and actually what we're looking at is our ability to metabolize.
Mm.
Now, if we don't have the right nutritional support in our bodies in the first place, then the mechanisms of detoxification or metabolization in the body are running at substandard levels, so they won't deal with the external toxins that we take in through all of these other sources.
Mm, interesting stuff.
I just want to read this headline from the website. It's a recent article from the Alliance for Natural Health, and it popped into my inbox yesterday. I thought, okay, I'm sure Ben's got something to say on this. And I'm pretty certain I could put money on the fact that you can respond to this. The headline is, Why Pharmaceutical-Dominated Medicine Fails Society. And I could just say, off you go then, Ben. There's a few comments in here.
How long have we got?
Yeah, sure.
Ben, do share your thoughts. Does pharmaceutical-dominated medicine fail society, in your opinion?
Absolutely. And the easiest way of understanding it is because it's a business model. It's not actually a wellness model. It's not at a kind of core level really interested in making people well. If we understand the action of most medicine, it's there to ameliorate symptom. It's not there to deal with causality, which is why ultimately, you know, when you go on to, say, a blood pressure tablet or a heart tablet, you have to stay on it for the rest of your life. Mm. That's an awesome business model.
Statins.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
exactly.
Quite a current one, yes.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, I think people are becoming more aware of this issue now, but still the figures surprise me. Just reading in this article, of 3,000 treatments that underwent randomised controlled trials by the BMJ, that's the British Medical Journal, 50% of them had unknown effectiveness, and 11%, only 11% were proven to be effective. And that's really not what you expect. You're expecting the pharmaceuticals that your GP is giving you to be at least 80% effective. You would imagine, you know, there's always going to be a few people that it doesn't apply to.
Yeah.
But it's shocking, I think, to see that only 11% have been proven to be effective. And I know, working in complementary health, proving effectiveness is flipping hard.
Yeah.
You know, you have to look at the bigger picture. But this is the standard by which the pharmaceutical industry is judging the complementary health sector, yet they can't even pass their own standard tests.
Yeah.
No, it's because we get a lot of criticism in complementary health that, you know, randomized controlled trials don't work, and that's because it's a very holistic approach.
Yeah.
You can't just take one pill for it and it resolves everything. But then if only 11% of the 3,000 drugs that they tested are effective, well, they can't either.
Yeah, and it's a very interesting model as well, the kind of empirical research, because it's actually based on a very, very narrow scientific bandwidth. And, you know, again, from an integral point of view, as we use down in the centre, there's at least kind of 75% of reality that isn't being recognised by that particular double-blind system, and therefore we're not disclosing the right kinds of information to actually understand if something is working, and yet we're using this as a benchmark about whether or not we should be giving somebody X, Y, or Z in terms of their health. But again, it's never about health, it's about illness. It's not about encouraging wellness, it's just about looking at the symptoms of illness. And as a good business model works, you don't ever want to kill off your customers. You just got to keep them alive long enough that they can keep buying.
And that they need you.
Yeah, and it is literally that level.
Now, I don't know if this is an urban myth or not, but I've often heard it said that the emphasis for Eastern doctors, so in China particularly, is that they're paid when their clients are well, not when their clients are ill. Is that true?
Apparently, that's true.
And in Ayurvedic medicine, which is based in India, it's a very traditional model. I mean, it's changing a great deal these days just because of populations and so on. But there is a very different model. But if you look at places like India, where in the 70s and 80s, when the pharmaceutical companies actually went in and started doing spectrum analysis on the Ayurvedic remedies to be able to debunk them so they could sell through the pharmaceuticals, they found that about 90% of the remedies did exactly what they said they were going to do. And so actually there's still a 4-to-1 ratio of people using Ayurveda as opposed to using modern pharmaceuticals in India these days. And they're a big proponent of homeopathy as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you don't want to be part of the pharmaceutical dominated society, what sort of suggestions might you suggest to people to keep themselves well?
The first thing has got to be to take responsibility, is actually to look at, and you know, and we actually come back to Denise's point about the toxicity of young people. What is it you're putting in your body? Where is it coming from? Because everything that goes into your system, whether it by your skin, and you know, 60% of everything you put in your skin ends up in your bloodstream, some of which is getting in there in 16 seconds, through to what you eat, through to what you breathe in. Now, from a food point of view, literally the DNA of the things you eat are going to repair and replace your DNA, and they're going to be the things that create the enzymes and the brain chemicals and all the things that make you function. So,
or not, sure.
That's
the case.
So, just on a simple car analogy, if I put cheap parts into my car, it ain't going to run as well. If I put damaged or limited or, you know, poorly manufactured parts into my vehicle, it's going to run badly.
I have a good example of that. I filled my diesel car with petrol once.
It didn't like it.
And it cost me very dearly to get it sorted out.
Sure.
Just reading through this article, you're spot on with the taking responsibility. That's on their list as well. One of the other suggestions is seeking out healthcare that's individual-centred, personalised and holistic.
Yeah.
And I particularly like this is this suggestion, to work with health professionals who are guides, not gods.
Yeah.
Ben, I haven't read it, but I suspect you'll know about this. There was an article about Bowen therapy and how it can help with asthma.
Yeah.
And there was a photograph with it showing the child. So we're back to children and all sorts of issues and problems that children are manifesting so much faster these days.
Yeah.
It's certain things are so much more prolific, like asthma, obesity, type 2 diabetes in children. It's just, it seems to me it's so unfair on kids these days. They're really, their bodies are having to struggle with so much toxicity. First of all, what is bone therapy? And if we just focus on asthma, how may it help?
So bone therapy is a soft tissue manipulation, which sounds like it could be cracking knuckles and doing all sorts of other stuff. But it's not like chiropractic and it's not like massage. It's something completely individual, developed in Australia by Tom Bowen, and is a very, very gentle way of actually getting the body to respond and change its position. Now, from a chiropractor's point of view, if there's a muscle or a bone out of place, then you push it back into place and that should reset it. From our point of view, what we're doing is we're encouraging the body to understand that something isn't settled, something isn't balanced, something isn't in a healthy place, and then choosing how it wants to change that to put it into a better state.
It's very gentle, Bowen.
Absolutely.
A lot of people
fall asleep.
Yeah, very much so. It's always if I'm lying on my back and have to turn over to lie on my front, it's quite a shock to be woken up because I don't even realise I've actually relaxed so much that I've fallen asleep.
And this is where bone has a great effect on the parasympathetic nervous system, which does allow us to relax and therefore allows things like digestion, reproduction, immune systems to function that much more efficiently.
Okay, so coming on to children and bone therapy, and in particular asthma.
Yeah.
What's it doing?
I mean, with bone therapy, we have a really good record of working with asthma because our procedures actually allow a release of the diaphragm so that people can actually take a deeper volume of air in. And it's interesting how many kind of cross connections there are between the topics we've been speaking about today. But at a very basic level, there's a mechanical issue. Often we're spending a lot of time sat down, we're spending a lot of time hunched over, we're spending a lot of time with our bodies in positions that don't actually help us to breathe easily. So there's restricted breathing from a mechanical point of view. There's a lot of children and a lot of people in general who are dehydrated. Now, what not a lot of people realise is that histamine, which is the compound that we release when we're having allergy reactions, is also a water management molecule in the body. So when you're dehydrated, you get higher concentrations of histamine in the body, and most of those are going to centre around the lungs because one of the places where you lose a lot of moisture is through breath. Mm. So the body is actively trying to hold on to moisture, and therefore it loads up around the lungs with histamine, and so we can often have breathing difficulties because of that.
It's a really intelligent response by the body to
Absolutely.
What it sees as an issue.
Yeah, and we just don't understand ourselves.
We try and stop it from doing it.
Sure, and we force the airways open using some kind of steroid inhaler, whereas a lot of the time, correct the mechanics, so put the body into positions where it will optimally breathe, model effective breathing, so look at deep abdominal breathing, diaphragmatic breathing, and also then make sure the system's adequately hydrated. So those are three of the easiest things you can do to alleviate asthma. We do self-help techniques as well, so if you're having an emergency asthma response, you know, if somebody's having an asthma attack, of course we recommend that you phone the ambulance for that, but you can use the emergency Bowen technique for asthma, and you can find that online. Just put Bowen for asthma in and it'll take you to a page with a diagram straight on there, and you can use that to help alleviate the level of panic in the body. And there's a really interesting relationship between the diaphragm and the heart as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've done a lot of work in Bowen with dissection. And one of the things that's been revealed looking at fascia and connective tissue is that the top layer of the diaphragm is in direct continuity with the pericardium, the sac that surrounds the heart. So when the diaphragm is contracting, then the pericardium also has a degree of contraction around the heart. So it's more likely that our heart rate will be accelerated when we're not breathing properly. And this is why often through yoga and other practices, deep breathing actually allows us to feel more relaxed.
You were saying about taking the shadow self into schools. I'd love all schools to be doing yoga and teaching kids how to breathe effectively.
Yeah.
And it would help so much, wouldn't it?
I think we should start school.
The Bishop Heber School down in Malpas.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, Bishop Heber. They do yoga now. There's a lady who was on the yoga retreat I went to in March, and she's a Senko, special educational needs, but she's also offering yoga classes and become really popular. So a round of applause to Bishop Heber School, actually. Wish I could send my kids there.
Yeah.
So before I let you leave the studio today, Ben, I want to pick your brains about hay fever. My six-year-old son seems to be suffering this year. He hasn't before, but he's getting really puffy eyes and congestion around his eyes. So what can we do, and why is this hay fever thing becoming more of a problem?
Okay, so the easiest thing about what you can do actually starts back with the hydration again. Dehydration, reduce histamine levels in the body, and other things that tend to increase histamine are processed foods, sugars, that kind of stuff. So any of that that you can reduce is always a good idea. And also on my website, you can actually go into my resources, and in self-help, there's a great emergency allergy reaction technique in there that you can download for free. And it's a very, very simple technique that works with the body's meridian system to just get it to come into a state of stability that helps it to process about 80% of allergy reactions. So there's the kind of self-help side of it. But more and more these days, allergies are becoming prevalent, hay fever, partly because we, in our bodies, again, we just don't have the right parts. You know, we don't have the stuff that we need to be able to deal with the external toxicity. And secondly, we're now experiencing a lot more compounds that historically we don't have a DNA record for in our bodies. So having a pathway of metabolizing these things is very limited, so we don't do it as well. Plus the fact that things like diesel fumes denature the outer coating of pollen, so they change that its recognizable form, so the body itself has more difficulty identifying it and therefore how to metabolize it, and it will just identify it then as an invading pathogen, which is part of what our hay fever response is. It's let's get this thing out of me. Mm. It doesn't belong here and I don't know what to do with it, so I'm just going to reject it. And also electromagnetics, high tensile power lines, they will also alter the kind of electron coats around pollens, giving it the same effect, really.
Wow, okay.
You remember when we went to see Jason Vale and he said he used to get hay fever, but it wasn't hay fever where it was a bit of a sniffle and an itchy eye. He felt like he was so poorly, he had the flu, but actually he had hay fever. And then once he changed his diet, it's gone. He doesn't have it anymore because he's changed what's going on internally for him. Yeah. So I'm just wondering what you might be able to do to help your little boy.
Yes, as you were saying, make him drink more water and less sugary things. He's like, oh, here comes mummy.
We've got the water filter. So
yeah, he's got a keen water drinker. My daughter is, interestingly enough, she doesn't have any hay fever issues, but he would much prefer squash or juice, which, and we encourage him to have water, but his water bottle goes to school and often it comes back still a full water bottle.
That's what I used to be like as a young man, though, as well. And I spent 12 years using steroid inhalers to deal with allergic rhinitis, so hay fever type symptoms. Yeah. And it was only through using kinesiology that I actually managed to alleviate the vast majority of that. And so being able to identify things that you have allergies to, being able to work with them and improve tolerance through reducing some of the toxicity and the other stresses in your life are absolutely key. And it is actually very easy to do. It's just knowing the right steps to do rather than reaching for the Pyrotin. Let's look at cause rather than the ameliorating symptom.
Mm. Okay, well, we're just about at the end of the show. Anything exciting happening for you this weekend? Are you going anywhere? There's a Mind, Body, Spirit in Llangollen. Are you going there, Denise?
I won't be there because we've got a 4-day access course happening at my place.
Okay.
So that starts on
Sunday. I might pop along on Sunday. Ben, what's happening for you this
weekend? I'm going to be doing 2 days of reclaiming your shadow down at Centre for Integral Health in Shrewsbury. And
there's still places?
There's one or two places left on that. So if anybody really wants to sort out why they're bothered by everybody else, then give me a call. Come and see me.
I think I could give you the name of a few people on Twitter. that
might be your shadow there, Tracy.
They might not recognise themselves, but there you go. So thank you very much. I've enjoyed the show today. You're due back again in a month's time, is that right?
Thank you. I'm looking forward to that.
I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Bye.